This week on Hyperspace Broadcast, we try to answer that age-old question. In the world of Dragon Ball Z, who's the strongest? I mean, it's gotta be Hercule, right? Hyperspace Broadcast, a podcast where we discuss a Toonami program and then go back and watch it. And after that, we try to decide if it's worth revisiting or best kept in the past. I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby.
And this week we're talking about the Dragon Ball Z movie, The World's Strongest.
That's right. Nostalgia's big these days. We're just trying to cash in. Make that sweet money. We're not making money.
Yeah, there's no money being made here.
What's important is it still good?
Yeah.
Tsunami's still amazing. It defined a generation, but will it redefine us?
Yeah, the real question is it worth sitting through 300-odd episodes of Dragon Ball Z? Or is it just a waste of time?
I like the outcome where we discover it's all just a waste of time and we're just very sad.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be great.
It's the bad ending of the podcast.
Oh, none of this was really that good.
It's oh great. Oh no, oh my
how
life
much time have we spent on this?
All right, I know for a fact Dragon Ball Z is still great and holds up no matter what.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, hold me to that.
I'll hope. Yeah, I will. Definitely. Okay, so Dragon Ball Z, of course, was an action anime produced and drawn and written by Akira Toriyama. I think that's right.
Yeah.
And it centers around a bunch of dudes who kind of beat each other up, and they can shoot energy blasts because they're awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. They're big, muscular, they fly around, they're too fast to see. They're all supermen, except one is a superman, and that's Goku. And he can turn yellow.
Yeah, he can become even more absurdly powerful than everybody else. And, of course, the title comes from the Dragon Balls, which somewhat quickly become meaningless in the plot of Dragon Ball Z. Outside of
collect them all, you can grant a wish.
Yeah,
that's about it.
And most of the time, that wish is reviving someone who's dead, because people die a lot, but never for very long.
Death starts to lose any sort of meaning in Dragon Ball Z, because people are just wished back eventually.
But specifically, we're not talking about the series today. We are talking about the second movie. That movie, again, being World's Strongest. So. First off, Peter, who do you think is the world's strongest? Just hazard a guess there.
Oh, jeez. Well, you got Jirobe's pretty tough. He cut off someone's tail once, I think. Puar?
Maybe. Yeah, the shape-shifting cat.
Yeah, like, because you could just shape-shift into Goku and scare everyone away.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, my guess is Goku. I'm thinking Goku's probably going to be world's strongest because...
Oh, I don't know.
He's the strongest in every incarnation of this series, so...
In fact, he has never not been the strongest in any of Dragon Ball or Dragon Ball Z. Probably not GT either.
Yeah, he's...
I'm pretty confused, man.
But
still Goku when he fuses, dude.
Yeah.
Can't cheat that.
So what do you remember about World's Strongest, if anything?
Nothing. I feel like I've seen all three of these films a million times. I know I've seen Tree of Might, the third, and I know I've seen Dead Zone, the first one, like many times. And I remember them being sold as like a three-part thing on Toonami. Like, oh yeah, okay. We got these three movies, they're all badass. have fun kids. Yeah, they're violent.
And they played on black to black. Black to black. Back to back.
Yeah.
Obviously.
They played them black to black.
It was a triple feature, which, yeah. So, personally, I feel the same way. I think somehow I missed World's Strongest, which doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. Because,
again, it was a triple feature, and I'm pretty sure it played second. So I'm not sure how I missed that one, but not the other two. I'm guessing they played separately at one point, and maybe that's how I actually saw them. I didn't see them as the triple feature.
Right.
But, yeah, the only thing I remember, and because I actually got DVDs, like a DVD box set of all three movies eventually. So I watched those, and what I recall about World's Strongest specifically, I guess, are two things. One is that there's a point where Piccolo is, like, turned evil, and they fight Piccolo, which is kind of neat.
Again.
I mean, A, he's actually a threat, at least in theory, and B, Piccolo is my favorite character.
Yeah.
So that was cool. And then the other thing I remember is that the bad guy, who is a giant brain in a jar,
that's right,
is actually a giant robot with a giant brain in a jar, and like the final fight is between this giant robot and Goku, probably. So, and the thing I think is funny about that is that, I don't know if you recall this, but at one point we played the Wii, like, Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3, maybe?
I think it was Budokai Tenkaichi 3, excuse me.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Whatever one had, like, just a completely absurd amount of characters from all over Dragon Ball Z.
And my point is that Dr. Slump, for some reason, picking Dr. Wheelo, the villain of this movie, who's just a giant robot, and A, why the hell, of all the characters you could put in a game, why him?
I believe I picked Chao Tzu.
No, I'm pretty sure you picked Aurel Dr. Slump.
Yeah.
And the game apparently has no balance whatsoever.
Yeah. Another real power character.
You couldn't actually injure me.
Yeah, there was just nothing happening. He just destroyed me. It was like the show. Like, they're not going to balance it. They're going to make it balanced as the TV show. Oh, if this little kid fought this giant robot would win.
Well, she's a robot, too, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. She's a tiny robot.
Yeah. But, you know, that, as far as World's Strongest specifically goes, that's about all I remember about it.
Yeah.
You know what? Actually, there is one other thing I remember about it. I remember that I'm pretty sure, like, the Dragon Balls are gathered in it at some point, because that happens in pretty much every movie.
Yeah.
And I seem to remember that, like, they're gathered and, you know, they notice the sky is growing dark or something, they being the heroes, and Oolong, like, has a memory of the summoning of the dragon, and his memory is from Dragon Ball, where, if I remember correctly, at least in the manga, I don't know about the anime since I never really watched it, but
I think it's also in the anime.
Probably, yes, but I'm wondering how it ended up in the American anime, because I remember that what he wished for was a pair of women's underwear.
Bulma's underwear, specifically, I think.
Maybe, but
but yeah, which is amazing, because it's like, yeah, you gathered this ball, and this dragon that's like the size of, I don't know, the entire sky shows up and dominates the entire world and asks you one wish, and you could have anything you want, and he's just like, I gotta get those undies.
It's also like pretty creepy, obviously.
Of course, yeah, because he's a pervert. Like,
not only that would be the thing that you want in the first place, but specifically those of someone not only that you know, but who is present for
present,
the...
Present and underage.
Yeah. But point for bringing this all up is that I'm pretty sure it flashes back to that. And I remember watching it as a kid and just being like, wait, what? Like, what's going on? And I think that, like, they redubbed it so that it wasn't, you know, a pair of panties. It's like something that's also weird because, I mean, I don't think they, like, changed the art, but...
A jockstrap.
Yeah, something like that. And it just completely confused me as a kid. I was like, okay.
Well, and especially
what,
like,
is this?
Yeah, and especially like not knowing Dragon Ball super well. I mean, you did, but if like if you see that and you just know Dragon Ball Z, it's just like, first of all, why is Oolong having a memory? Who gives a shit about Oolong?
Like, yeah, why is Oolong here at all?
Yeah. This anthropomorphic pig, he's got something important to share.
Yeah. God. I feel like I watched it when I'd already read that issue of Dragon Ball, but I can't really remember.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I feel like I had some context for it, but it was still very strange. It might have been strange in that it was dubbed differently, and I was like, wait, that's not what he wished for. Like...
Yeah, speaking of dubbed differently.
Yeah.
This is yeah, these movies do use... Yeah, yeah, and, you know, and the Toonami, at least in the original runs, they use the, for the films, they use the ocean dub, which is, you know, different from the Funimation dub we're all used to. Goku's voice is a bit higher pitched. It's not bad, but it's just a little odd if you're used to
everything
else.
Yeah, it's a little weird. It doesn't sound how you'd expect it to.
Yeah.
Although, I was doing some research, and I think that... the ocean dub was actually used for the first, like, X episodes of Dragon Ball Z as well.
Oh, really?
I've been trying to dig up a version of World's Strongest that is actually the Toonami, like, broadcast dub.
See,
that
yes.
is the ocean dub.
That would be ideal.
And it would be, yeah, and it would be nice if I didn't have to try and also dig up, you know, the first X episodes of this series as the ocean dub, because it's
right.
kind of hard to find.
Throw some commercials in there too. Get Tom and maybe that RC car that could flip over but keep going that they advertised for about 30 years.
Yeah, that would be great.
I need that commercial again.
Yeah,
and I guarantee that played during Toonami.
Oh, definitely. And, like, commercials for Gundam plastic
over.
Model kits.
You can keep going!
Although this is pre-Gundam, so probably not that.
Oh, yeah. The awesome Toonami promos. Like, they're all great.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing
Absolutely.
Gets you more pumped for a show than those promos. And it's, like, electronic music that's, like, cool and high-paced and it's just, like, brutal. And there's just, like, so many different cuts to just... awesome violence.
Yeah, it's
much.
Really just a 1 minute cut of the most extreme moments in the series, or in this case movie. It is really just like, I remember you bought those VHS that had a bunch of Toonami shit recorded on them.
That was a gold mine. Just go,
yeah,
go
it was,
to,
and we're just
go to Goodwill
it,
buy some like, random VHS tapes, everyone.
Just, yeah, some random blank VHS tapes and see what you can find. Hopefully not.
Well, maybe not Goodwill, but the shadier thrift stores.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, I remember watching it, and it was just insane, because as a kid, I never really registered, like, yeah, this is madness.
Yeah, yeah, it just seems so natural. And you go back and watch them now, and it's like, this shit was brutal and awesome and crazy. Like,
yeah, but it's
like there's no. It's no wonder I was hyped.
Yeah, that's true. It's just weird, like seeing it as a, you know, like 22-year-old at the time. And
yeah, right.
and being like, oh, this is way more brutal than I remember it being. Like, this is nuts. And I just didn't faze yeah. me as a kid. And, you know, realistically, I probably went from, like, Scooby-Doo to this and just there wasn't even like a there wasn't even like a speed bump. It was just, oh, now this is what I watch. It's super cool.
There may have been a speed buggy.
Wow.
Bad joke.
good one.
That show was shit. Well, you probably did because before Toonami, all they aired on Cartoon Network was fucking Scooby-Doo and the Flintstones.
Well, and like Dexter's Lab and all that shit.
Well, yeah, when that stuff came out too, yeah. But there was a dark time yeah. before the where Hanna-Barbera ruled the network. I guess they did still. You get what I mean? Old Hanna-Barbera, the really shitty yeah. stuff. Scooby-Doo is not great.
No, looking back, yeah. So I don't know. That's pretty much it.
That's about it. Really, yeah. You know, I hadn't seen it either. I don't remember it. It's, yeah, I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I guess yeah. let's give it a
let's,
watch.
Let's watch it.
World's Strongest will return in a moment.
Hey, everyone. This is Michael, your favorite host, I'm guessing. I just wanted to pop in during the break. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. Peter and I have certainly enjoyed producing it. And I guess I just want to extend our sincere thank you for listening. And that comes from both Peter and I, although he can't be here to record right now. If you really want to do us a favor, leave us some kind of review on iTunes, preferably a good one. And if you have any friends who might be interested in this program, let them know, because we could always use new listeners. So once again, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate it. And there's fun stuff coming down the line. So keep listening, and we will be returning to our discussion of The World's Strongest in just a moment. Okay, and we're back.
Man, that was a good one.
Yeah, no. Well, we'll get to that.
We'll get to it, but...
So, I guess, synopsis, briefly. It begins with Piccolo training in the middle of nowhere.
Again.
yeah, I'd like to see how many of these movies start with that. I'm curious to see, like... Does Tree of Might start with that? You know, now that I think about
Dead Zone
it,
did.
Lord Slug kind of starts like that, if I remember correctly.
I wonder why. He's kind of a good, like, baseline outsider character to start the movie off with.
Yeah, that's true. But anyway, so he's training out in the middle of nowhere, and he's just, like, shooting energy blasts at this, like, just a bunch of ice.
Yeah.
And he makes
in, like,
some
crazy glaciers.
Yeah, and he makes some comment about how, like, oh, I could never break through this.
Yeah, Zumite Zubrie. this yeah, crazy mountain name.
Then it cuts immediately to Gohan and Oolong, of all the characters that could yeah. be going off on an adventure. It's them. And so Oolong notices that, thanks to stealing Bulma's dragon radar, he notices that the Dragon Balls are just kind of gathering by themselves. And you'd think that this would be cause for concern more than
right.
just, oh, well, I guess...
cool, someone's doing it for us.
Yeah, I'll go and make a wish myself, which is what he wants
I guess
to do.
That's kind of his M.O., though.
What?
He waits for the Dragon Ball. That's kind of his M.O., though. He kind of just waits for them to be gathered and then comes in, sweeps in for the kill.
I mean, I guess that's true. It's just, I don't know, there's something really weird about that. Like, the amount of not seeming to really consider that someone else gathering them is probably a bad sign.
Yeah. That they don't even tell anyone. They just, like, go off, and then Oolong's kind of weirdly, like, don't tell anyone about this, ever, Gohan, which...
I wrote that. Gohan, don't you fucking tell anyone what happened here, I will fucking end you. Like, it sounds like something really fucked up happened.
Yeah, this is pretty creepy. Like, also considering that of all the people that you'd want to leave your kid alone with in that series, like, Oolong is probably the second worst, by my estimation. Like, Roshi would be the worst. Oolong, second worst. He's just a seedy, seedy guy. But,
yeah.
Yeah, so they go after, and this old man has gathered the Dragon Balls, and he uses the dragon to, basically destroy the ice, which, honestly, on first watch, I didn't really realize that the point of showing Piccolo training by trying to blow up the ice was to, like, establish that you can't just do that.
Yeah.
But still, I think that Dragon, Please Melt This Ice is about the most, like, useless wish that has been made in Dragon Ball Z. Like, Dragon Ball, yeah, there were plenty that were just kind of silly and dumb, but melting ice for Dragon Ball Z is, like, crazy pointless.
Yeah.
Then, basically, there are these, like, little creatures that look almost exactly like Cybermen.
That's what I wrote, too. They're identical. Yeah. They're gray
Cybermen
palette swaps.
With, like, Cell face.
Yeah.
And, you know, they come in and intimidate Gohan and Oolong. They start beating the shit out of Gohan, which, again, is one of those things that I was like, wow, I never realized how, this is a child just being beaten.
Yeah, they just kick the shit out of him.
And then Piccolo comes in and saves their asses. And then they just kind of leave like nothing happened. Like, yeah. And this, again, is the point where Oolong's like, oh, no, don't tell anyone about this.
As if he has so much to lose from people finding out. Yeah. Like, guess what? Bulma finds out and then makes him make dinner. That's his punishment. For breaking her priceless dragon radar.
The fucking making
so
dinner.
Stupid.
And then she just orders takeout, too. That doesn't even
matter. Yeah,
because
he sucks. Like,
it's like, oh, you suck, actually, but whatever. We'll just get
And he acts like it's the end of the world. And it's, man, we got our hands on the ocean dub, finally, actually, on original broadcast. And, His Oolong's voice is really annoying.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, it's not like it wasn't annoying in the other dub, though. It's pretty...
It's true.
He has an annoying voice.
It's kind of the character, I guess.
So anyway, like, this doctor, Dr. Koshin, that's the old guy who made the wish.
I call him Dr.
Because
he makes that noise 18 times.
Laugh. Like,
he was my favorite character.
But,
I love his little weird old person squeal.
Yeah, but, like, he sends these Cybermen out to get the strongest person in the world, which, because, as we find out, the lab holding his mentor, Dr. Willow / Willow.
Should be Willow. They pronounce it Willow. Sure.
Yeah, but... It's been frozen for 50 years, so apparently 50 years ago, Master Roshi was the strongest martial artist on Earth. Sure, I'll buy it. So they send these guys to kidnap Roshi, essentially, and it's one of the funniest scenes in this movie is Roshi talking to these horrible monsters completely casually. Like,
well, let's not forget the monster's coming at the door and be like, we're looking for Roshi.
Yeah, and the turtle just like, just, oh,
he's
I'll
here,
get him, I
man.
Guess. Like,
hang on a second.
Like, it's just a weirdly polite interaction.
Yeah, and yeah, again, they're like, oh, you come with us. He's just like, no, I don't think I'm going to do that. And then they fight, which, if there's one thing that's great about this movie that I kind of forgot, it's that there's a lot of Roshi and a lot of Roshi fighting and actually kicking ass. Like,
yeah, it's very rare.
It's a surprising amount of, of Roshi and really other characters. Like, my fear going in was that this would be yet another situation where Goku just did everything. And that's not really the case. There's a lot of other characters fighting, which is kind of interesting, you know?
Yeah. That's what I really like about this.
So,
now, let's not forget, soon after, there's a studying montage with Gohan, because he gets, like, in trouble and has to go study. This is really weird.
It is. And, I mean, I don't want to keep referring back to Dead Zone, but was this just a thing that happened in these movies? Because I completely blanked it out. Probably because it's dumb and just bizarre beyond belief. Yeah. It's just a music video of Gohan.
With and it's Gohan singing, but it's the Japanese Gohan singing in Japanese, which is weird.
And no translation or anything. So it's just this kind of like psychedelic thing with, I don't know, a language I don't personally understand. And I'm pretty sure no one understood that was watching it.
Oh, yeah.
On Toonami.
And it's like he's tripping out again, like he's getting chased by fucking rulers and protractors because he's studying so much, and books are falling everywhere. And then suddenly the song turns on a dime into worshiping Piccolo. And so he's following Piccolo around. And then now what's really creepy is that the chorus of the song I did understand in Japanese is Piccolo, Piccolo, I like you. Piccolo, Piccolo, I like you. Piccolo, Piccolo, I like you. Or like, I love you. Like, it's Suki, which is like love or like. It's kind of like,
God, that is really,
really
creepy.
Weird. Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I didn't know that. So
yeah, I loved
it. If there is one thing that gave us, it's the weird, like, super deformed Piccolo art that I liked for some reason.
Yeah, definitely.
So eventually, you know, Chi-Chi and Goku find out that Oolong and Gohan did this thing. I think it has something to do with Roshi being kidnapped. And Bulma, of course.
Yeah.
Because Bulma just hangs out with Roshi all the time. Something I cannot fathom.
Yeah. Why?
Anyway, so Goku decides to go, this is actually important. is that Piccolo is disabled by the bad guys when he's fighting them off. In the
pretty
beginning.
Pretty much he gets kidnapped, pretty much.
Yeah. So anyway, you know, there's the scene with Roshi, like, trying to fight off these weird, like, mutant cyborg monsters. Yeah,
I believe they were the Monstars from Space Jam. They look a lot like them.
Which, like, one of them is just this fat yellow dude, and then there's, like, a pink muscly guy and, like, a green lizard-like guy. I don't know their names. They're all named after food, you would expect.
Probably, yeah.
No, they are.
It's like some... really? Yeah, because they seem like pretty Japanese kind of sounding names.
Yeah, they are, but they're like, specific foods to like Toriyama's province, I think.
Of course.
Anyway, so there are these three monsters, and they fight Roshi 3-on-1, and he actually manages to handle them for a bit before they just like kick his ass.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't see Roshi fight almost ever, so it was cool to see that. You know, Goku comes in to save Roshi and Bulma. He's fighting the weird cyborg things. There's a truly great scene where the fat yellow one, like most fat characters in Dragon Ball Z.
I wrote the same thing.
You can't just punch him because the fat absorbs your punch. So yeah. Goku just headbutts through his body. And then in... like, the greatest voice acting ever. And these monsters don't talk. They just kind of growl and, like, make noises. But there's this scene where it's, like, flying around, like, a deflated balloon. And, yes! Or, like, a popped balloon. And there's like the voice acting just needs to be seen or heard, rather. I can't even do an impression of it. It's just insane.
It sounds like Goku flies through him and he stretches out so much that it's like it's pretty kind of cool looking, and then he does Kaioken and bursts through his goo belly. And the guy flies around like a deflated helium balloon. And it sounds like he's doing that like cartoony lip smacky thing you do when you get like hit really hard, and he goes like
that's exactly really what funny. It sounds like. And that goes really on loved it. For a while too. Like there's a good couple shots of this creature just flying around, and then there's like a shot of its corpse, and there are all these wires and shit. So there's some kind of cyborg things.
I believe they were called state of the art biotechnical warriors.
Okay, yeah, you're right. So then Goku has to fight the other two, and like one of them has ice breath. And one of them has these, like, wires coming out of his arms that can electrocute people.
Lightning tentacles.
Yeah. So they pretty much get the best of Goku. And then Gohan comes in and, you know, basically ends up saving Goku's ass at the last minute. And then Krillin comes in, too.
It just appears out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, to suck in this movie.
I'm pretty sure I wrote down, where the fuck did Krillin come from? So then, you know, basically, Krillin and Gohan get their asses handed to them by these two.
And Goku's frozen in a statue.
Yeah, so biotech he's stuck. Warriors. And then Goku breaks out and destroys both of them by using Kaioken.
He breaks out because Kaioken, and then beats them because Kaioken.
Yeah.
And there's no downside to it.
Yeah. And, well, you can see that he's maybe in pain while using it, but...
Yeah, the third one, for sure.
But anyway, then, you know, they go to rescue Bulma. They get introduced to Dr. Wheelo officially, and the goal of Wheelo's plot is revealed, is that he wants to put his brain in Goku's body... so that he can be not only the smartest person in the world, but also the strongest person in the world. And with that combination of strengths, he will rule the world.
Here's one of my favorite lines from this movie.
Okay.
Think about it, Goku. With your body and my brain, we'd be unstoppable. And he goes, no kidding. you smug bastard.
And then...
Also, you're crazy if you think I'm going to let you get your hands in my brain. And it's like, dude, no one wants your brain.
Yeah, no one wants that. We're going to toss that in the trash.
Your brain can't count over 100.
So again, Goku is kind of captured in this, like, energy vortex. And... Krillin and Gohan attempt to fight Dr. Koshin, who, as it happens, is a robot. His arm turns into a fucking minigun.
That was badass.
Yeah, and I forgot about this, but seeing the ad as a kid, they just show the minigun and they show it like shooting and then Krillin running around away from the bullets. And I remember thinking that was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah,
very rarely in Dragon Ball Z are there guns.
Yeah, and very rarely are they effective, but they actually kind of make this one look intimidating.
Yeah, and so eventually Goku breaks out of his, you know, bullshit tube, and then it's revealed that Piccolo has been kind of brainwashed. He has some kind of mind control device on his head.
His eyes are pink because he's stone.
He looks badass.
And he's just...
But
he does, actually.
So he and Goku fight, and Gohan just cannot wrap his head around the fact that Piccolo is no longer his friend. Which, I was okay with. And then it happened, like, one more time that I was okay with.
Yeah.
And I was just pissed. It's like, Gohan, you're an idiot. Literally, yeah, you've approached just, him and approaching said, him. Mr. Piccolo, like, four times, and he just smacks you across the face.
To be fair, that's kind of what Piccolo does to him in his normal mode.
Well, no, but, okay, sure, but during the crazy fucking study hallucination, it actually shows at the end Piccolo sacrificing himself to stop Gohan from being killed.
That's right. Yeah.
Which is funny.
At the end of Raditz.
Because, no, it's against
or Vegeta.
Nappa, I think.
Whatever, yeah.
Which is, I mean, if you're familiar with Dragon Ball Z timeline, you might realize after that happens, Piccolo is dead until near the end of them being on Namek. So,
yeah, let's keep in mind these movies make no sense chronologically.
Yeah, of course, they don't.
In the TV timeline, it does not make sense.
I would say rarely, though, do they actually take a clip from the TV stuff. Like, that was what threw me off. And also, my point with all that is that, you know, by that point, Piccolo is no longer, like, smacking Gohan around. He had actually, you know, grown an affection for the kid.
Yeah, but his training was always harsh.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, so anyway, you know, there's all this fighting, and then Gohan hulks out for a moment.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, which was kind of irritating, but fine.
There's actually, like, a really tiny scene that got cut out here.
Okay.
That I noticed, and it's, like, Krillin reaches, Bulma's talking, and Krillin's like, I gotta try and help you, and he reaches for Bulma, and then gets electrocuted, and in the broadcast, it cuts out that scene, it just lingers on a shot of Bulma talking to him, and then you hear him get electrocuted, and it cuts to him with a burnt hand. Now, I don't know if that's, like, lag or something on my part, like, it could have been a mistake with the VHS copy, the VHS rip, but...
Yeah.
It was weird because it's just like I went and watched it on, like, you know, on the uncensored thing, and it seems completely innocuous.
I don't know.
I thought maybe it's like, well, we don't want kids getting electrocuted, or if you look at it out of context, it kind of looks like he's shooting lightning out of fingers at Bulma. maybe that's it.
Maybe who
that'd be hilarious.
Who can fathom the mind of the censors for Dragon Ball Z at that time.
Toonami standards and practices. Who can fathom that at all?
It was actually Saban.
Oh, but, weird.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah, they fight. Eventually, they blow the mind control device off of Piccolo. The fight with Piccolo is pretty cool because, again, this is something that doesn't happen much. And at this point, Piccolo and Goku are pretty evenly matched as far as strength. So it's not just an easy blowout fight. It's actually kind of intense.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Gohan's hulking out, I believe, knocks Dr. Koshin off a cliff.
You're almost right. For one thing, we're a little out of order with the, not that it totally matters, but the minigun thing, like, happens after Piccolo. And Roshi comes in and karate chops the minigun arm off, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then, yeah, Gohan rages, apprentice guy, that's what I call Dr. Koshin.
Fair enough.
Shoots a beam out of his cane, which looks really cool. Gohan gets pissed off, blows shit up, the wall gets blown up and stuff, and it frees Piccolo, and it destroys kind of the lab, and then Koshin falls into a pit and dies.
Okay.
And then he gets electrocuted while falling in the pit, because that's not enough of a death.
Yeah, exactly.
And you see that he's all robot.
My note for that was just simply falling to your death is a pussy way to die. You have to be electrocuted. Yeah. You have to have your skin electrocuted off and then explode before you hit the ground.
Yeah. Like, what if he was actually just a human? And it's like, oh, it's just a bloody skeleton.
Yeah, this is
a brutal show.
Image.
Yeah.
yeah.
So Wheelo breaks out of the wall, revealing he's a giant ass robot.
Yeah, and then he starts fighting everybody. And this, for me, is actually a pretty cool sequence.
I agree.
Mostly because, again, you actually see everyone kind of fighting together, which, from what I mean, that happens a lot in early Dragon Ball Z, and I kind of forgot about it because later Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, which we've been watching lately, it really doesn't do that. It's mostly one-on-one fights. And it's mostly Goku and, spoiler alert, Vegeta.
Big spoiler, man.
Yeah, spoiler for a, 20-year-old cartoon. But it's mostly just them, because they're far and away more powerful than any other character in the series. And that's true even by, like, I don't know, the android stuff.
Yeah, and
I mean, to a lesser extent, but especially, like, once you get into Majin Buu shit, it's not team fighting anymore.
Right, and yeah, you might get a couple of situations where the super strong Saiyans at the end of the show will team up and fight with each other, but I have a feeling it's just not as complex as it is in this, probably because it takes a lot more detail and animation to do that.
Well,
so I really love some of the details of this fight where it's like everyone's going to fight the robot. The robot's way too strong. Goku uses a power pole and trips it, and then Piccolo jumps over and starts launching a bunch of blasts at it. That was really, really cool little combo of teamwork and stuff.
Yeah, there's
and
you a just lot don't of like see that. Set up and take down kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There's a great scene right as the fight starts where Roshi, Goku, and Krillin all Kamehameha at the robot.
Yeah.
And of course they're like, "Oh, we got it."
And it immediately doesn't work.
Yeah, classic. But the fight goes on, and it's pretty cool. And eventually, Wheelo gets launched into space in some manner.
Yeah, a beam struggle. A classic beam struggle.
And Goku makes a spirit bomb, and then as he's about to throw it, Wheelo just, like, blows him up.
Which was
kind of awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, because I was just like, oh, he's going to make the spirit bomb, so movie's over, right? Like,
yeah.
This is it.
And then there's a bit of a fight in space somehow with, like, Gohan and Piccolo against the robot.
That was possibly my favorite part, because it's like Goku's failed. And these two are coming up, and they actually start kicking some ass. Hilariously, Krillin flies up in what's about to be a really cool, like, flying punch and gets bitch slapped back into Earth.
Yeah.
And while he does, he goes, "What does this always happen to me?"
Yeah. And it has
which I thought was fucking
great. It has to be mentioned. My recollection of how much of a complete waste of time Krillin was is very hazy. I remember Krillin actually being relatively badass. And in this movie,
I agree.
He doesn't do shit. He doesn't do a damn thing.
Same with Dead Zone. He's fucking worthless in these movies.
You know what? He doesn't even save Bulma. If I remember correctly, it's something else that deactivates her weird energy prison.
Gohan getting pissed off, I guess. But like
he doesn't do
jack
anything.
Shit.
He doesn't land he does one Kamehameha that lands and doesn't do shit. He doesn't do Destructo Disc. He doesn't do shit. It's ridiculous. And yeah, again, his final potential crowning moment of being cool ends with him getting just bitch slapped down to Earth. He is useless completely.
Even at his like best possible timing, he is useless.
Yeah, exactly. Because God knows, you know, as soon as the Saiyans land, he is just done as far as being an effective character.
He's just sympathy meat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he held his own against the Ginyu Force, but whatever. So Goku throws a spirit bomb, and it blows up Willow. That's how it ends.
Which is kind of cool because it's like he gets knocked over and then he gets back up and then he's like, oh, I still have the spirit bomb. Like, I thought for a second it was gonna be like, oh, he completely wasted it.
Yeah.
He wasted it with his stupid speech, which sounds pretty great in the dub. He's like, I feel it, the land, the sea, the sky, and he just. I don't mean to make a ton of stoner references, but he looks pretty high when he's doing it because his eyes are half opened, and he just sounds like a wasted surfer dude. Like, it's ridiculous.
And so he blows up Dr. Willow, and then they're all leaving together. Master Roshi makes some comment where he's like, oh, you know, I felt pretty honored or whatever that...
No, I have a quote.
Okay.
I have a direct quote.
I'd rather the quote than me trying to paraphrase it.
Well, there's one thing I did like about Dr. Willow. He thought I was the strongest fighter in the world. And then Bulma's just like, I guess nobody told him you're just a dirty old man.
And then everybody laughs. And that's how the movie ends, with everyone laughing for like a solid minute at Roshi.
They laugh for so long, and then it zooms out. Like, it zooms out to a view of the planet as if everyone on Earth is laughing at Roshi.
All right.
With like the whole group laughing. And yeah, they laugh for so long.
Oh,
and then
boy.
It's the end.
Yeah, this is. Oof, this is a long.
I know, yeah. I realized we're like 15 minutes,
we're
and we're just like,
a
oh,
bit long, but. Okay, so
that's all right. We're still working, testing the waters with this shit.
Is this worth revisiting?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I really like this one.
I agree completely. We kind of went over why already a lot, but for me, you know, it's just, and again, like I hate to keep referencing Dead Zone, but coming off of Dead Zone. The enemies are more unique. Like, even the Mook enemy fighters have, like, specific abilities that make them, like, clearly different from each other. You're right.
Yeah.
And they all, you know, those are abilities that you don't see in Dragon Ball Z. You don't see people with ice breath or electric tentacles.
Exactly. Who the hell uses
ice? You
see
the fat guy, but whatever.
Yeah, you got the three cornerstones: fat, ice, and lightning.
Yeah, exactly.
They're good goons.
No, they're good.
Even if they have no personality, let's say.
But who cares? Because they're in the movie for like all of 10 minutes. Like, I'm fine with them not really having personality if they have unique abilities, because all they're really going to be doing is fighting.
And they put up a good fight.
Yeah, they do. You know, there's a lot of non-Goku hero characters doing
cool stuff. That's a big strong point
for
me.
And there's, like, again, as we were saying, the whole team fight against Willow at the end is really cool because, I don't know, I feel like that didn't happen that much in the movies. And, you know, I could be wrong about that, but... Dragon Ball Z in my memory is not that.
Yeah. It's a lot of either like one-on-one, mostly Goku. Mm-hmm. Goku always being the strongest. Like, you can never deny that he's the strongest dude in the group.
Well, and, you know, in all fairness, he is clearly the strongest fighter here, too, with Piccolo as a close second. But he's not so strong that everyone else can just sit and watch.
Yeah, and he gets beaten down, and he wouldn't have won without the help of the others.
Yeah,
which
that's
you can
true.
technically say that in Dead Zone, but like here it just seems to make more sense. Like Dead Zone, it just seems kind of cheap that he could have pretty much won without the others. He just happened to be getting sucked into a vortex at one point.
Yeah, well, I mean, again,
we're going to reference Dead Zone. It's bound to happen.
That's true. I mean, yeah. The real thing, too, is that the villain... Also, the villain's, like, plan is kind of interesting, I think. Like, stealing Goku's body, or, you know, the strongest person in the world's body. That's interesting for Dragon Ball Z. It's not the most, like, obvious plot.
Yeah, it's not make me immortal, make me the strongest. It's
yeah, you know. Exactly. And I don't know. I was really happy with this. Honestly.
Yeah, it was just entertaining throughout.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't. Let me make one exception. The stupid ass music video scene I did not need to have.
Yeah, that was more baffling than anything else. Yeah,
that didn't need to be there. Everything else was fine. And you know what? That's the kind of thing that to me seems like filler. But that's strange because this movie didn't need filler. It was consistently paced. It didn't seem like they're like, ah, shit, we need to fill 5 minutes. Well, I'll just have a music video. Like,
yeah.
You could have done without it, but whatever.
This is definitely the best paced Dragon Ball Z movie I've ever seen. Because I've seen a couple other ones, and almost always the complaint for me is it went by too quickly. There wasn't enough time for characters to breathe or for fights to last or for, you know, unique badass things to happen. This one felt perfect for some reason.
Yeah. I mean, well, I seem to remember Tree of Might also being pretty good, but we'll see when we watch that, whenever we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I would say if you remember this, check it out in some capacity. It's still pretty entertaining. It holds up surprisingly well.
Yeah, if you Google online, you might be able to find a stream of the original Toonami broadcast that someone graciously put up.
You're going to have to do a little bit of digging for that. But one last point I wanted to make. I just wanted to point out that, yes, the scene with Oolong remembering or fantasizing about his wish being for a pair of underwear was cut from the Toonami broadcast.
Oh, for shame.
Yeah.
How dare they?
No surprise there.
No.
All right, so that's about it. Next week, we're going to be watching Gundam Wing episodes 1
starting up on
10.
That.
And I'm excited for that because...
Yeah, that's going to be a good time.
Yeah.
This has been Hyperspace Broadcasts. Again, I'm Michael Doak.
And I'm Peter Eby, and don't forget to revisit us next week.
Find more of their music.